The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live. We begin with a developing story involving the Tennessee Titans. Adam Schefter here with us. Adam, what's the latest with Derrick Henry?
Laura, the Tennessee Titans have officially opened the window for Derrick Henry to come off injured reserve. Keep in mind, they are in the one seed right now. So the expectation is that he will not play on Sunday against the Houston Texans, but they're hopeful that he can rejoin them in the postseason, assuming they lock away the bye this weekend against the Houston Texans. If they win, they get the one seed, they get the bye, they get an extra week of rest for the king, Derrick Henry, to rest him up, and then make a decision about whether or not he'll be ready for the divisional playoff round.
What you were looking at there was video of Derrick Henry from today in practice. Looked like, at least from practice, he was moving around pretty well. A lot more from Adam coming later in the show. The Titans are getting Derrick Henry back just at the right time, right? Henry has averaged 111.7 rush yards per game over his playoff career. That's the second most in NFL postseason history, a minimum of 5 games. He trails only Hall of Famer Terrell Davis, who averaged 142.5 yards per game on the ground in his playoff career. He's clutch in these moments. And Marcus, how do you think this changes the AFC playoff picture?
It just got thick. It just got thick in that AFC, man. Listen, the thing that comes to mind is how we've talked about teams going back to the ground and pound, the run game, sure. Right? And we've always lamented about the Tennessee Titans. That's their most effective way to kind of choke teams out.
Right. Right.
And the fact that you get King Henry back at this point, in the playoffs, to try to make a run where ball control is at a premium, the ability to close games out late in the fourth quarter. And not only that, Dio, you know this, man, psychologically.
Yeah, the boost.
Like having your guy back, you know what I'm saying? Having a dude that you can turn around or look to in that huddle and say, yo, Derrick will get us there.
Right.
If we do our job, Derrick will take care of the rest. And I think that's a huge thing for the Titans going forward.
First of all, this is remarkable. Yeah. Remarkable that he is back and practicing. And watching the practice video today, there's no way that you could tell me that he broke his foot 3 months ago or however long
and
it was.
And had surgery on said foot.
He looks absolutely incredible. And so the reality is this is a remarkable accomplishment by him. So kudos to him. I think Derrick Henry being back for the Titans is the difference between them being legit Super Bowl contenders and not.
Yeah.
Like, go back to September, maybe early October. And we talked about this team offensively, and they were different than everybody else because of those three skill position players, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, because their size, their big fit, no one else was like them. And we haven't talked about the Titans as much, really, since maybe the early November part, because A.J. Brown missed time, Julio missed time, and Derrick Henry missed time. And I don't know if any of us really believed that Derrick was going to make it back.
It actually exited my mind.
And I think that their style, your point to their style of offense is important here, because if we're talking about the teams in the AFC, I think Tennessee, if healthy, and Cincinnati, if healthy, are the two teams offensively that I know exactly who you're going to be.
No doubt. Yeah.
You know, like, I don't have concern about who you are going to try to be. Like, even with Kansas City, what are we going to get out of them? Buffalo, what kind of quarterback player run game? Even Indianapolis, how's the quarterback going to perform? Is it fair? With those two teams, Cincinnati in a healthy Derrick Henry and skill position guys, I have no question about who Tennessee is on offense.
They're going to play the way they play.
Right.
Well, I got so excited about Derrick Henry, I forgot to introduce who's on the show. That's Marcus Spears. That's Sam Orlovsky. Keyshawn Johnson is with us as well.
Key.
Hey,
what up, Key?
Here's the reality. Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown have played only 5 games together this season, but Tennessee is 4-1 in those games. Mm. What kind of boost do you think this is for them?
Both of those guys sitting next to you, they gave it all away, right? They told you exactly what this means to the Tennessee Titans. This team is 12-5, and they're going to lock up the number one seed. So now you only got 2 games to get to the Super Bowl. That was the course they were on when he was in the lineup. He basically rushed for 1,000 yards, and he missed 8 games this season. So you add that to the mix, he could have been a 2,000-yard rusher again. They're going to accomplish everything they wanted to from the beginning of the season, which is having an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. It's a major, major game changer for this football team.
If you think about defenses that they can face, and you went through that list there, we can throw that back up on the screen of the AFC playoff picture.
Right.
What defense is built to even limit Derrick Henry?
They don't exist. I mean, we watched you put the graphic up about his success in the postseason. And obviously, look, this don't make the let's be clear. This will make the Titans unbeatable. What it has done, though, it is every team in that AFC playoff picture, they got to change how they going to play the Titans.
Right.
You have to go back and redo your plan if you had to face them, because that's what coaches do. They try to get ahead. A week or two, they look at opponents, they clear the field, and then they send all of their guys, their, you know, their GAs or whatever you want to call them, and say, hey, start breaking this team down.
Yeah.
Well, now you got to go back and watch the Tennessee Titans early on and try to figure out how to stop them. But more than that, to what you said, Dan, I know who they are going to be.
Right.
The Titans going to tell you, hey, we run it.
And they,
stop
they it. Haven't wavered, they haven't not wavered since Derrick Henry got hurt.
Since he got out.
Key, we heard you. What'd you want to say?
No, I was going to say, on top of that, we keep talking about his foot, his ability. How about the fact that he's fresh?
Yeah.
His body
that's
is fresh.
That's a good point.
He hasn't taken any hits at all whatsoever. So you know he's raring to go.
Well, when you think about that type of injury, though, Dan, and listen, we don't know exactly how healthy he is, right?
Sure.
We've just seen the practice footage, and he looks good. But dealing with a foot as a running back, concerns there for you as you see him out there on the field?
I mean, watching him today, so I had this injury years ago. Right. I did not come back nearly this quickly.
But once you got between you and Derrick Henry.
Athletically, there's a small difference. Genetically,
a small difference.
But once you came back, you came. It's a bone, right? Like once your bone is healed and you're cleared, and he's probably got a screw in there. I think what he feels like and looks like tomorrow, obviously, you know, after a day's work, will be a big deal. But he's been working for about a week right now.
Yeah.
I also think it's important to point this out. They will not play if they win this weekend and get the first round bye. They won't play a game for another 17 or 18 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Derrick Henry's got to play a game
gotta
in
play
4 days.
Game, yeah.
He's got almost another 2.5 to 3 weeks. To get himself into rhythm here and get himself. So the guy that we see today is not going to be the guy that get in the first round of playoffs. And your question of what team is built to really stop this team, naturally, with where we are today, I say Kansas City, and people are going to go, well, they whooped Kansas City early on in the season. It's a different defense
totally different.
In Kansas City right now. And then I think Indianapolis, if they get in, because that's what they see every single day, their run game, right? And so I think those would be the two teams that I would – envision, at least run game-wise, having the ability to slow him down a little bit.
Even though Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry also very different. But you mentioned earlier on in the season, with Derrick Henry, they beat the Chiefs, Colts, and the Bills.
Yeah. No one had more impressive wins than the Tennessee Titans.
Not at all. Not at all. And they deserve a lot of credit as well for having to go through all of these changes and still being at this point. Another point I wanted to make about Derrick Henry, he's not a east-west type guy.
This injury
for Derrick Henry, straight line speed.
Right. Yeah.
Like once he's going north and south, he's going. It's not a guy that you got to really deal with putting his foot in the ground and cutting three or four times when he runs the football.
Real quick, I know we got to go. Ryan Tannehill as well. Tannehill has not been the Ryan Tannehill we have seen since he became the starter in
Tennessee.
He'll
revert back.
He didn't have Derrick. You know, like that is
All right, so really good news for the Titans. For everybody else, for the AFC, they're like, oh, man, we didn't think
they ain't want that.
He's an alien.
Let's get Adam Schefter back in here for some of the other stories he's watching heading into Week 18, a huge week, and the playoffs. Adam, let's start with the latest on Micah Parsons.
Laura, a lot going on around the league, and we'll start with Micah Parsons, as you mentioned, placed on the reserve COVID-19 list today. Keep in mind, the Cowboys in a short week, playing Saturday night on ABC ESPN against the Philadelphia Eagles. And so that's going to make it very difficult for Micah Parsons to be out there against the Eagles on Saturday night. Similar story with the Cincinnati Bengals Pro Bowl running back Joe Mixon. Tested positive today, will not play on Sunday. The Bengals will not use him out there. They will turn to other backs knowing that there's a playoff game ahead as the AFC North champs Joe Mixon out on Sunday. And Joe Burrow also will not play on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. Brandon Allen will start for the Cincinnati Bengals. Again, no reason to subject Joe Burrow. Got hit late in the game, banged that knee, was fine enough to do the gritty and smoke a cigar in the postgame locker room, so don't think there are any real major long-term concerns about that knee. But this is an ample opportunity for the Bengals to rest Burrow on Sunday, and that's exactly what they will wind up doing.
Shefty, your gritty looked like you was on that yak.
I was going to say, I think Shefty's gritty is better than Joe Burrow's gritty. I hate to put it out there.
But Laura, breaking news. I underwent an MRI today on my right knee. I may have damaged my knee doing that gritty. We'll see the results of the MRI tomorrow. Hey,
so, Adam, are you on the IR because of the gritty, Adam? Can we report this?
We are awaiting the results of the MRI. When they come in, I will let you know.
Okay, bottom line material right there. By the way, I tried the gritty the other day, and I'm on IR out of embarrassment.
Derrick Henry back, Schefter out.
Hey, Schefter, text me so I can break the news.
Yeah,
we'll find out. Okay,
so I can do it.
Stay tuned to Swagoo's Twitter. We'll see if the news comes your way. All right, we got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live today. We've seen the Raiders prove themselves mentally this year, but on the field, they've relied on one thing to succeed. We'll tell you if that can keep carrying them. Plus, Key says it's time to stop asking whether Jalen Hurts can play football. Hurts had a productive sophomore season. We're giving credit where it's due. That's all coming your way on NFL Live. Keep it right here.
I'm feeling good, man. I feel so much better. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Catch the biggest names and brightest stars rep their team, their city, and the NFL at the 2022 Pro Bowl presented by Verizon. Sunday, February 6th, 12 p.m. Pacific at Allegiant Stadium. Buy your tickets today at ProBowl.com. Talk about the charge a little bit. Their defense getting back on track at the right time, showing one of their better defensive efforts of the season last week against the Broncos. They snapped a 10-game streak of allowing at least 21 points and held Denver to just 81 yards rushing in the win. That's a good ground game. Let's get to Dan and Marcus over there. Guys, that Chargers defense showed you something specific. Tell us about it.
I think they're doing a nice job on their coverage unit, but that's happening because their rush unit has been very good. And we only sometimes attribute the Chargers to, well, Joey Bosa, right? I think they're using Joey Bosa to help other people on their defensive line. This 100%. Is last week against the Broncos. So Bosa singled up by himself. And we've seen this a little bit in the past with, like, the Rams and Aaron Donald, right? This is called that overload front where I'm going to take guys like Jones and Tillery and move them away. So he's on the left side of this center. So me as an offense,
Real quick. This is to create what they want the protection from the Denver Broncos to be, right? This alignment not only is trying to create a space to find a one-on-one matchup, but they want to create what they want to dictate protection by the Denver Broncos offensive line.
These three guys being on the left side, I really got to take 1, 2, 3 and go 3-on-3. Now, I'm okay with that initially because that means my right guard and right tackle, they've got to go 1-2, but I'm cool because, again, that's Joey Bosa.
And
I'm okay with
that. Denver is fine with that as well because all the protection from the offensive line slides away from the back.
You've always said that.
Center will work this way anyway.
Right.
Right? So they feel good about the three to the left side of the offensive line.
See, what makes it hard on the offense right now is when Jones, who started on the left side of the center, he goes across his face, left side to right side. Now that three-man surface that I had is dead, and really I got that one-on-one right now on that Tillery versus that guard.
And D.O., take me back to the initial snap.
Okay.
And I want to show everybody the Denver Broncos offensive line. This is a retreat.
Yeah.
The retreat is to sort. See all of these guys getting out of here? This is to sort things out.
Yeah.
It's not about trying to get depth because it's a pass. They are trying to figure out, because of that initial alignment that you pointed out, we got to get depth because we are expecting some movement.
Interesting. So then that Tillery wins.
Yeah.
So I really set that up for Joey Bosa, but really Tillery's the guy to be the benefactor.
Because you created a one-on-one because you mixed up
their
protection.
That's hard on an offense.
By going across the face.
So then I was paying attention. So now Bosa moves to the inside, right? This is Joey Bosa. Up top is Rump, the rookie from Duke. And I thought that was interesting. And you told me they're doing it for a specific reason.
They're doing it for a specific reason because when you have elite edge pass rushers,
yeah.
these backs right back here will always check. D.O. run it and watch Javonte. He's checking. He's not getting out right away. Joey Bosa is on this football team. He's the edge rusher. Right. I need to help my tackle
blow
him up before I get into my route.
So us offensive people, we call this what's known as a ricochet. So we're and correct me if I'm wrong. You know, Bosa's job is really to run in between the guard and the tackle.
Absolutely.
And, like, get into the inside shoulder of the tackle, ricochet off of him. And then Rump's job is to really do a nice job of allowing Bosa to do that ricochet up and then drive underneath as that guard goes to him.
And look, everybody at home, you want to know why they pay guys $100 million? Because look at this guard.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa made this guard late because of Joey Bosa's ability and name. Look how much he committed
to
when Joey Bosa was entering into this C-gap.
Right.
And now, Ruff is clear. This is a win already.
That's a nice rip by Rump, and then that forces that incompletion. So,
no question.
You know, when you watch the tape, you're thinking, what are they doing for Joey Bosa? And I think what's happening is Bosa's doing such a nice job of commanding attention that if Tillery and Rump can play that way this weekend, and then if they get in the playoffs, this pass rush has got a chance to be a real difference
maker. And, D.O., to your point, it's a few guys in this league, and I get frustrated when I don't see it. I didn't feel like the Browns did it enough with Miles Garrett. Okay. I don't feel like Pittsburgh does it enough with T.J. Watt, even though T.J. wins a lot of one-on-ones. The people that have mastered this is the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
Using Aaron Donald to create opportunities, Joey Bosa has that same type of respect from offensive linemen to be able to do that.
There's some good defenses in those L.A. teams, and the Chargers specifically taking on the Rams in this game this weekend that Dan was talking about. Derek Carr has completed over 80% of his passes to Hunter Renfro this season, making them the third QB wide receiver duo to do that in the last 15 seasons, along with Drew Brees to Michael Thomas twice, Tom Brady to Wes Welker in 2007, great company. They're heating up lately, too. Carr completing nearly 90% of his passes to Renfro since week 12 when Darren Waller went down with injury. Renfro ranks top 10 in the league in receptions and yards over that span. Let's get Keyshawn back in here. Key, what have the Raiders done to make them so efficient on offense?
Well, they've done everything that they're supposed to do in terms of the West Coast offense. If you think about Greg Olsen, who has a history and a background with John Gruden, the former Las Vegas Raider head coach, in terms of what they want to do. They want to run shallow crosses. They want to run sticks, stick nods, slants. They want to get the football into guys' hands for the 3-4 yards after the catch. And that's where Renfro is dangerous, most dangerous at. When you talk about the completion percentage, Carr is completing about 70% of his passes right now. And you mentioned it, Laura, 80% this year to one guy, 90% to that same guy since week 12. Now, maybe Darren Waller is coming back to the party to give him a little bit of help, but this is what they do, and they do it extremely well. It is not an explosive offense. It is a dink and dunk, methodical offense. Get down, kick field goals, and if there's an opportunity for you to score a touchdown, you score a touchdown. That is the West Coast offense.
We're trying to give Derek Carr a little more love on this show. Derek Carr needs 72 pass yards to break the Raiders' single-season franchise record for passing yards. It's currently held by Rich Gannon. A huge game in Week 18 with the Raiders and the Chargers, and it's just one of quite a few. Week 18, as we wrap up the regular season, has teams fighting for a playoff spot. There's a lot on the line and some great matchups. We will paint the picture for you, everything you need to know about who's in if they win. That's next on NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
If you watch San Francisco's tape, this is what D'Amico Ryans has done. Honestly, there's so many snaps where I go, is it cover 4 or is it cover 3 Buzz Week? Is it cover 2 or is it cover 4? Is it cover 1 or is it 3 butt? You know, they just do a really good job of not allowing quarterbacks to play with conviction in their eyes.
And, D.O., to your point, the phenomenal part is how long they hold the disguise. Yeah, a lot of 100%. Defensive panic. Switch, they get nervous, like, oh, my goodness. But the ability for them to hold the coverage that long and then move at the snap.
And then what that does is it allows the defensive line a tenth of a second or two-tenths of a second more, which is an eternity. Yeah,
absolutely. So you ready for me to talk? Speaking of coverage from the San Francisco 49ers, I think if I'm them, I want this game in Matt Stafford's hands because I want to see if Matt Stafford has corrected some of this turning of the football over. Okay. And listen, it's a slippery slope because if he's on, you can get scorched. Sure. But I think I would live in that vein. And here's the reason why. When we look at the Los Angeles Rams and we've talked about how phenomenal and explosive they can be from an offensive standpoint, I think they're at their best because they got Sony Michel going. I really do. I think the comfort that Matthew Stafford has because of that, the ability to get OBJ those one-on-ones. Yeah. We know Cooper Kupp over the center of the field, those deep overs that they like to throw. All of that is a product of teams not being able to pin their ears back and get after your quarterback. So I'm interested to see because I love the point you made about the disguise because that's something all quarterbacks deal with. If I'm the 49ers and D'Amico, I think I want it in Stafford's hands early to see if he's corrected some of those things.
That's fair.
No question about it, Marcus. You certainly want to put it in Stafford's hands, given the fact the way he's played this season. He's played great, but then there's at times where he's turned the ball over at a high rate. And good football teams with good coaches like the 49ers, they capitalize on those turnovers. If the Rams are going to win this football game, though, it's going to be because of the defense. It's going to be because of Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald putting pressure. And I'm assuming, let's just assume Trey Lance is going to play and it will not be Jimmy Garoppolo based on the finger. So if that's the case, the Rams and that defense should pin their ears back and go get that young quarterback and let him know what a Super Bowl contending defense really looks like.
Yeah, again, the 49ers win this one, and they're in the playoffs. Pretty remarkable if you consider how they looked at times injury-wise earlier on. By the way, cloudy with a chance at defense, does that work? Or,
I like it.
Okay.
Have you seen the movie? Coverage?
Yeah, well, that's the point. Yeah, that's why I was doing it. All right, let's get Adam Schefter. Let's get Adam Schefter back in here for more on our top story today involving the Titans running back Derrick Henry. I'm going to ignore that Dan's making fun of my green suit. Adam, what's the latest on Henry?
Well, the Tennessee Titans designated running back Derrick Henry to return from injured reserve today. They opened the window for him to come back in the next 21 days. And keep in mind, right now the Titans are the number one seed in the AFC. If they beat the Texans on Sunday, they lock up a bye. And that means that if Henry doesn't play this week, which is the expectation, and doesn't have to play if the Titans get a bye, he would have 2.5 weeks until their next game, giving him a chance to come back, making this team the number one seed potentially in the AFC even stronger and tougher as it would get ready for its opening game in the divisional playoff round. If King Henry is back for the Titans in 2.5 weeks, that makes them more formidable than they are today and gives them a real chance to make an extended postseason run.
What about Lamar Jackson, Adam?
Yeah, he didn't practice again today, Laura. And if the practice week is starting out with Lamar not practicing again, and keep in mind he's practiced only once in the last 3+ weeks, that would be an indication that right now it's tracking for Tyler Huntley to start a game. The Ravens have to win on Sunday in what should be Ben Roethlisberger's last NFL game.
And our other breaking news of the day is that Adam Schefter is getting an MRI on his knee. Waiting on the results, Adam.
Correct.
Due to a strain that resulted via this gritty performance.
Oh, my gosh.
Adam.
Well, Laura, we don't know that. I'm presuming because it was shortly after that my knee began bothering. So it can't be proven that it was from that. But it could have been on this particular twist right there that there was some damage done to the right knee. We'll see. We're waiting the results of the MRI. When we have it, we will bring it to you as soon as we have it.
I demand that you only bring those results to NFL Live. Do not break that news anywhere else, Adam. We hope that you are feeling well. And by the way, just a point of clarification, no worries, everybody. Adam will still be on every show on ESPN and ABC. He will power through whatever results come his way. We got a lot more coming your way. Go ahead, Adam. Yeah. What?
Yeah, I may be hurt, but I'm not on the injury report, Laura.
Yeah, there we go. No, we'll never put you on there. Let's talk the Patriots next on NFL Live. They're going to Miami this week. Miami weather isn't quite like New England. Bill Belichick has to come up with a plan to prepare for those circumstances. We'll tell you more next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NFL Countdown has you covered for the NFL season finale. We're getting Week 18 started on Saturday as Patrick Mahomes battles the Broncos and Dak Prescott faces Philly on ESPN and ABC. And we're back on Sunday morning getting you set for the final day of the regular season with the playoffs on the line. Join us for a special edition of NFL Countdown Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and ABC. Before we wrap up the regular season with Sunday NFL Countdown at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. The Bengals heading to the postseason thanks to a great game against the Chiefs. Let's read and react to some other teams we know are in the playoffs, starting with the Bills. The Bills clinched their third straight playoff berth last week after beating the Falcons. It's the fourth time in the team's 5 years under coach Sean McDermott. Buffalo has made it to the postseason. Here's Josh Allen with what that means to this team.
It speaks a lot about the guys in this locker room, about the front office and our coaching staff. Being as consistent as possible, 3 years in a row, it's not an easy feat. You know, winning is not easy in this league, and you need to celebrate it when you can. But at the same time, we're not just hoping to get into the playoffs. That's not our goal. Our main goal is, at the start of the season, is to give ourselves a chance to win the Super Bowl. And yes, to get to the Super Bowl, you got to make the playoffs. So we have accomplished that goal, but we have loftier ones ahead of us.
Love to hear it. The Bills can clinch the AFC East with a win this weekend against the Jets. But what did Buffalo do, Dan, last week that made the run game so hard to defend?
I think going into the playoffs, 9 out of 10 runs should involve Josh Allen. They don't need balance on offense. They need stability. And if they do that, they get it. So this is double close, that my receiver is a close fit to my tight end, slot at the bottom. We got the block and the bubble, right? That's basic. This is called power tree. The backside guard pulls, that's power. Frontside guard pulls, that's G. Down blocks. And now we're not going to block that defensive end, right? So this creates tremendous numbers and angles for me front side. Josh Allen's staring at him. And this is a really nice job by Singletary, because if the defensive end hangs outside, there's the cut. Singletary knows if Josh is giving me the ball, it's because that defensive end is hung outside, right?
No doubt.
And I've always wondered why they don't do more of this. From a defensive guy's perspective, like when you go into the game knowing that a team is at least willing to run the quarterback, like, what is the number one challenge for when teams are at least willing to do that?
Well, first and foremost, your numbers are already being dictated to you. And what I mean by numbers is when we talk about quarterback run game, we say you have to bring 11 to the party at that point, right? Because usually you can account for a back. You can get a free hitter that's a safety on the back to meet him in the hole. Or you can get a linebacker to scrape over. But with a quarterback, one, you know it'll be pullers because they want to protect their guy. Right. The other thing is you know it'll be a ball fake because we want to hold guys. So to your point, Dio, if they attempt, and you know I've been screaming this, threaten it. It don't mean that you handing it off or you running Josh Allen
all game long. You got Singletary, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Threatening it will make defenses slow down. And once you slow down defensively against 240, you're behind eight.
I think the slow down point is everything.
Yes.
It just forces everybody to play slower on defense.
No question.
Got to say, if Josh Allen is running at me, barreling downhill, I'm running the other way. But
and that's the thing about the Bills, man. They do a great job of getting him to the second level immediately when they're in the run game.
I just think it's going to help Singletary Moss so much. Every time, quarterback, are you keeping it?
No question.
Everything on the line, you got to think the Bills may do that in their offensive plan. Let's go elsewhere in the division. The Patriots heading south for the winter.
That's pretty.
And while that might seem fun for most of them, it might not be for them, actually. New England 9-12 on the road in Miami. Bill Belichick turning up the heat at practice today in anticipation for Sunday's game in South Florida. Listen to this.
How hot can you get it inside the field house?
I don't know. Not as hot as it'll be in Miami.
I know one thing, it's hard to go from this weather to 80 degrees. It's always a little bit of a shock in pregame.
I mean, that sly smile from Belichick, Keith, think he likes to bring up the heat a little bit?
You know what? Coaches try all sorts of little tricks, whether it's the heat when you're playing in hot weather, whether all of a sudden in a dome they turn the AC on and want you to practice. They bring in lights at night. You can practice at night if you're playing a night game. And Dan knows this at the quarterback spot. They put balls in buckets of water as if that's going to stop you from fumbling or throwing a damn interception. It has nothing to do with the heat. Either you're good enough to play in Miami and beat them, or you're not good enough. It's just simple and plain. There's no thing about it right there. There's nothing with it.
Now, you're right. You're right. You're also right about the wet ball drill. Never fun.
Yeah, I don't think I would like that one. Okay, coming up next on NFL Live, we've got a whole lot more to get to here on the show. Look at Key just smiling there. I love it.
The big Key.
We're going to go O-line versus D-line, y'all. We're going to get these guys telling you about the line of scrimmage in some crucial games as we finish out the regular season. Get
Boogie,
off your
what
spot.
You doing in there, Boogie?
We'll
what
be right back. I'm getting you off
okay,
your spot.
Boogie.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How about this for you? Saturday's Week 18 NFL doubleheader full of playoff implications. The Chiefs must win to have a chance at the number one seed in the AFC. They take on the Broncos at 4:15 Eastern. Then the Cowboys and Eagles, who have both clinched NFC playoff berths, face off at 8 Eastern. Both games on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. A special edition of NFL Countdown kicks off our coverage at 3 Eastern. Don't miss it. All right, it's time to get Adam Schefter back with us here. Adam, what's the latest with the 49ers?
Laura, Jimmy Garoppolo threw in a limited fashion at practice and obviously was experiencing some pain in that torn UCL ligament in his thumb, but there's a chance that he's going to be able to play this week. In fact, I have a feeling he'll be out there on Sunday when everything is on the line for the 49ers to have to win that game against the Rams. He was asked if it was uncomfortable, painful. He said, expletive, I'm going to... He expressed some displeasure and discomfort, basically, okay? I'm not going to put his words out there. But he was out there throwing in a limited fashion. I think it's important to note, whereas Lamar Jackson not practicing today,
right,
there's a sign. Jimmy Garoppolo limited today. I think there's a sign, too, right there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the reality is, too, the 49ers probably feel pretty good because Trey Lance looked a lot better, at least in the latter part of last week's game. So maybe some depth of that QB spot. Thanks, Adam. It's Wednesday, so time to give some love to the guys in the trenches, Dan and Marcus. What you got for us today?
We're just over here pacing. We know it's a big week. It's must win. Ooh. Oh, you know what? That made sense to me. I was like, wait, why is there the same thing behind it? It's my first day in studio. Okay.
Technology.
We're going to start at number 5. Listen, this every game is win and get in ramifications. I'm going to challenge the Colts defensive line at number 5. I thought the Colts defensive line got pushed around by the Raiders last week. This is not a good offensive line in Jacksonville. They got to dominate this football game.
Yeah, listen, I'm DeForest Buckner. I'm looking directly at you, Quiddy Pay.
It.
You guys got to get after
dominate
Trevor Lawrence and force him to turn the football over.
Be the dominant
Simple
unit.
As that. Yep.
Number 4, we are going to go to the Raiders-Chargers game. I'm going to put the rookie there, Leatherwood. Yeah. He's actually moved inside. We've moved Joe Bosa around in our breakdown inside. This should be a big matchup.
Yeah, you see him playing better because I think it's more of his natural position in the NFL. He's athletic enough to be a formidable guard movement-wise and can handle some of those speed rushes that Joey Bosa will put.
Number 3, I'm going to put the All-Pro there. This is the request for you.
Yes, sir.
Not only because of the pass game, but also the run
game. It's paramount. Most teams try to run away from Aaron Donald, but based on his positioning and leverage, when you can put him in the line of scrimmage, he can make plays opposite of where the ball is going because of his athleticism. And I think Aaron Donald is going to have to impact this run game in order to get San Francisco kicked out of these playoffs.
Now the guy who's the oldest, I think he's the oldest left tackle to ever play in the NFL football
LSU
game. With, but I'm going to put the defensive guy up there, Nick Bosa, because they're the team that's got to win to get in.
Battle of all battles. And Witt understands what his quarterback is and the situation that he's being put in. This is all about technique. and experience versus speed and power. And I'm interested to see which one wins out. Don't just lay it at the floor that Bosa is going to dominate this game. We've seen a lot of fast and strong pass rushes over his career.
And then I'm going to put the guy that you've talked about basically all season. Again, he's going to have to play dominant football against Rashawn Slater, who people think rookie of the year.
Yeah, first and foremost, I want to apologize to the Las Vegas Raiders and Yannick Ngakoue and Max Crosby. They said before the season they would lead the league in pressures, and that's what they're doing as a tandem. But Max motor and his ability to get after the passer, and they start to move him around a little bit, which creates a matchup. Rashawn got his hands full because he is not going to stop for four quarters.
Might be our best all year.
No question. Great matchup.
Big time.
Those are really good, too, because they matter as much as you guys talked about. Win and in a huge week in the NFL. The Philadelphia Eagles, by the way, back in the playoffs after winning 7 of their last 9 games. They started the season 2-5 under first-year head coach Nick Sirianni. But here's Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, with more on what reaching the postseason at this level feels like.
I think it's a great accomplishment for us, something we've worked really hard for throughout the year. I'm overcoming so many different things. And we have the opportunity to do something special, so we want to take advantage of it.
Hurts has been largely responsible for Philly's recent turnaround. Since week 8, Hurts ranks in the top 10 among quarterbacks in wins, total QBR, yards per attempt, and air yards per attempt. In fact, only Rodgers, Herbert, Brady, Garoppolo, and Mahomes have a higher QBR than Hurts over that stretch. Really good company there. And Key, we still hear him, all the critics of Jalen Hurts, right? Everybody talking about, maybe he's not the guy. Do you think getting to the playoffs and this performance down the stretch will silence some of Hurts' critics?
Well, I think you start off, Laura, by where he was drafted. Being selected in the second round, people are going to have their doubts about you. That's just the way it is. If he was a first-round pick, everybody would be saying, great. Oh, my God, he's accounted for 4,000 total yards on offense. He's leading the team in rushing. He has them at 9-7 with an opportunity to go 10-7. They made the postseason. And so I look at it and say one of the best things that he's been able to do is continue to be a leader, shake the doubters and the haters off, continue to play at a high level, and continue to get better. The one thing that I would say that I would like to see him improve on is improve on that 61% completion percentage. Just get it up a little tick more so we don't have to listen to that, because that'll be the next thing is, oh, he can't throw, he can't do this. All he does is win football games. Isn't that what you want out of your quarterback, is to be able to win games?
Yeah, I hear you, Key. I think he does a lot more than just win, though. Like, honestly, I think what this kid has done has been, one, incredibly impressive, and then, two, all we have seen Jalen Hurts and people like me who have been critical of him from the jump is get better and get better and get better. And you saw more development of that pocket passing aspect of his game. I thought this was one of the best plays of this past weekend. Number one is going to be the back in the flat. Two is going to be a corner route. Three, shallow cross. Four, deep cross. Now, Washington is playing quarters coverage. Linebacker matches the back. That's not open. Corner plays outside the tight end. That's not open. Linebacker takes the shallow cross, and then the safety drives the deep cross. There's nothing to do with the football. But Dallas Goedert wins, but he's got to make this throw with someone basically in his belt buckle and throw it up high and away to Dallas Goedert. Now, again, I've said this many times. If that was Aaron, if that was Tom, oh, my gosh, what a great throw, right?
Yep.
But we only reference Jalen Hurts with the athleticism, and we should.
It's a positive.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And the reality is this. Lamar Jackson gets doubted. He won the freaking MVP. Yeah. Like, Jalen, you're always going to be doubted because people think you aren't a good enough passer. I think Jalen Hurts has absolutely answered the question of, are you going to develop as a pocket passer? I also think it's why they're a sneaky, dangerous team in the playoffs.
Hmm. I'm going to the other side of the football because I don't think we paid enough attention to the ability of these interior pass rushers that the Philadelphia Eagles are having. You know, I've been screaming it all season. It's how you affect quarterbacks now in the new NFL.
Okay.
So here, you got Hargrave and Fletcher Cox, both working together. But the push, the initial push, ends up being a touchdown. Sure. This is the physicality in which they play with. This is when Hargrave was playing at a higher level than anybody. Second, you see Fletcher Cox with the physicality and the strength to push the pocket and force quarterbacks off their spot. Dan, we had this conversation. I got to relent to you. I was wrong about what you should fear about the Philadelphia Eagles, because I was so focused on Jalen and the run game. And in my mind, I'm like, if you get that part stopped, you can limit what Philly does as a football team. But between Fletcher and Javon, and when you look out on the outside with Barnett and Sweat, It changes games now when you get to a point where you got to drop back if they can make you a passing football
with
team.
With the run game, with they the take run, a lead. Yep.
Absolutely, man. So when going forward with Philly, if you think about all of the things that they can kind of take advantage of in the NFC, interior pressure should be something everybody watches with this football team and see how impactful it is.
So now you kind of think they could be a scary matchup for somebody else in the NFC, because to your point, you said before, maybe not.
Yeah, because in my mind, what I saw was a 41-21 loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Sure. And they became one-dimensional. I know that was a long time ago. Sure. And they've developed. To your point, Jalen has developed. Yeah. The offense has continued to develop. I want to see, though, if it ever turns into I got to drop back and push it if he can do it.
Yeah. Well, either way, he continues to prove people wrong. Jalen Hurts does at every single level. He's doing it now at the highest level. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks to everybody for tuning in.
Bye, Key.
Bye, Key.